So I have sneaked in an additional scripture from the lectionary by reading it to you now. And this is what I'd like to talk about for a few minutes. This is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14, and I'm going to read through 19. So if you want to reference that in your own Bible or write it down, because it's not in the bulletin. So Ephesians 3, 14 through 19, this is Paul talking to the church at Ephesus. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That is quite a blessing upon those folks in Ephesus and to us today, that we should be able to receive that and grow into and comprehend the height, width, depth, and knowledge of the glory of God. So on this Sunday, the church traditionally remembers and gives thanks for her saints. A lot of churches do that specifically on the day after Halloween, which All Saints, thank you. Woo! Hang on, y'all. This might be trouble. That on that day they came together in special gatherings and services and did what we are doing today, because it's just a lot easier to do it on the Sunday and expect a lot of us to come out and be able to talk about these things. So the church traditionally remembers and gives thanks for her saints on this day, those who are well known, those who may be personally dear to us who have passed away recently, and for those long forgotten and seemingly silent who, like the leaves that now carpet our autumn woods, we don't think of any of them individually, right? All those leaves that you see out there looking so great, you don't think about the individual leaves so much. What do you think about? What it looks like as this beautiful tapestry and carpet. So we're remembering the saints who are long forgotten, even though we don't know who specifically they are. We know that together they present to us a beautiful, faithful whole, a great cloud of witnesses that are countless. And their precious individuality is held for now only in the Creator's heart. Those who do not yet see what they or we will be at the trump and at the twinkle, we are awaiting the quiet before the dawn, eagerly awaiting when all things shall be made well. All Saints Sunday is about Christian community and about family. Some of you can recall the definition of a saint that we have long used here at the Vine, or you will as soon as I say it, you'll recall it. Those believers now passed into God's keeping whose lives and labors have inspired and encouraged you in your walk with Christ. These are our personal saints. Think of those who we may think of when we think of who is a saint to you. It would be someone who's now passed into God's keeping, whose labors and lives, their lives and their labors have inspired and encouraged you in your own walk with Jesus. Today is about the power of remembering and the power of giving thanks for those who have shaped our lives toward following Jesus. Today is about trusting God with their lives now that they are in His keeping. And today is about asking ourselves, how do we live today so that those who come after us will be encouraged also to follow Jesus. But now let's just take a moment for this. If you're someone who has been desperately let down, crushed, even had the way you experience the world and your faith damaged by a person who professed to be and you trusted to be a Christian, I'd like to pray for you now. If you're a person who's experienced that before, I'd like to pray for you. Lord, we know that sometimes sheep run afoul and become wolves. We know that sometimes within families and within the family of God, those who are charged with loving and caring for us and teaching us step into terrible places and bring harm. For any of the ones here whose souls have been hurt, have been damaged by a person who's done this, we pray your healing to continue to set them free. And that maybe even just mentioning this in the midst of God's people can somehow be fresh air and light and salt to bring healing. Lord, only you can do this by the power of your Holy Spirit as you are making all things, including us, new. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And All Saints is not only about remembering, it is also about anticipating. Anticipating our own place in the story that God is telling. It calls us to reflect on our own faithful perseverance, sometimes not quite so faithful, to be strong in the Lord and to provide a helpful witness to the coming generation. This is why the work of retooling and reorienting and re-equipping our church, which has been quite the challenge, but good challenge, that's why it's been so important. Those we hope to reach today live in a very different context than those we hope to reach in 2002 and the times after. So we've been doing the work of refurbishing an inviting, welcoming, and transformative Christian community focused on more of what is to come than what we were in the past. In the 22-year journey of Vine of the Mountains, I've become convinced that to walk the way of Jesus means discerning and yielding to the story that God wants to tell through us. It is discerning and yielding to the story that God wants to tell in us. What's discerning? What does that mean? What's the word discerning? What? Yes. And? Anyone else? And acting on it. Well, yeah, it's listening to and then being able to get a vision of, right? When you discern something, you realize it, and you somehow have a vision of it, and then you move toward it, right? So that's the yielding and discerning to the story that God wants to tell through us, not paying attention to the things that would distract us for the chimeras or the things that look like they would be good to do but are not necessarily good to do because we have to discern that. And God even grants us, and this is what's miraculous, God grants us some power of authorship to help him tell the story even as we are a part of the story. Now, to some folks, this might be a little bit controversial, or you might just say wrong, but I genuinely believe that part of our role in growing into the image and nature and character of Jesus means to become fully creative. God is the creating one par excellence. And we also are to become sub-creators in the world that he is creating. And so we get to play a role in that, which is a beautiful and marvelous and sometimes scary thing to think of, that we get to help God tell the story he is telling, even as we're a part of that same story. To walk in the way of Jesus is to yield to the story that God wants to tell through us, which is exactly what Jesus did. His whole life was one of discerning and yielding to the Spirit, but also using together what God gave him, his own abilities and gifts and powers, which are God, to be able to do amazing and beautiful and powerful things. Think of the adventures that Jesus had. We don't normally think of the story of Jesus as an adventure, right? We think of it, oh, well, it's holy writ. It's just kind of this gilded retelling of a story, but it's really a bunch of adventures. When you think of the scrapes he got into, or at least what we would consider a scrape, when how difficult it was for him to, I think, keep his chin up, trust the Lord, and then move forward according to the move of the Holy Spirit to be in touch with that. And remember that they were happening all the time and all around him, and we don't know the half of the stories of Jesus' adventures here on earth. Remember that the very last sentence of John's gospel is, there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Now that's a mighty big compendium of adventures. So your life is telling a story. Every day, each day individually, all your days cumulatively, the story of your life tells today what your legacy will be tomorrow. What is that word legacy? What does that mean to you when you hear the word legacy? What is a legacy? What? What is passed down? Is a legacy always good? No, not at all. And so what the story that we're telling today is indeed the legacy that is passed down, hopefully a good one, because we're discerning and yielding to the story that God is telling. But sometimes when we're not doing so great, we're also passing that down. I know recently in our emotionally healthy spirituality that we've been studying, there was a big section or an important section on breaking the ties to things that had gone in, the legacy that you received, in a sense, from your family, the not-so-good things, and being able to create a space between you and that and allowing God to step into those places of dark or, negative legacy and make a change and bring his glory out of that and for your good. So the question is, are you, and am I, through your life, yielding to the story that God wants you to tell in your days? A story which rhymes with the story of Jesus. Those beautiful, astounding, and multiple adventures of Jesus. Now notice that I said rhymes with the stories of Jesus. Why would I say that our job is to make our lives rhyme with the story of Jesus, with his life? Why would I say rhyme rather than be just like? What? I'm sorry, Julie. We're in a different time. We have a different life. We're not God. We're not a first century Jewish guy. And we're not called to be the savior of the world. Exactly. Yeah. But isn't it a marvelous thought that even though I can't do just like Jesus, I cannot live just like Jesus. Despite all the aspirational posters and wristbands, WWJD, and all that good stuff, I can't. In fact, God doesn't even want me to be exactly like Jesus. But he does want my life to rhyme, to fit into that story that God is telling overall. And the best way to fit in that story is that your life, best we can hope for, is that it rhymes with the life of Jesus. It works together with, it adds even more to the story that God is telling. In the Ephesians passage, Paul is basically expressing his prayer for the church, that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner person, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ. I want to just bold a couple of words here. God would grant you according to the riches of his glory. What are the limitations of God's riches and glory? None. It is limitless. The resources available to us for God to put into our lives as needed for the sake of his story are boundless. They are limitless. And so we never have to worry about, well, yeah, I probably used up all those blessings yesterday when that car didn't hit me. And, you know, so today I just better, you know, be a skinflint with how I live. But no, according to the riches of God's glory, every day we can move out there and take risk and take heart and take hope that God is with us. In any moment, in any given day, can become exactly what God wants it to be, whether that's a quiet moment or a hallelujah moment. Then that this might happen and that we are strengthened through his Spirit in the inner person. I love that. The original is the inner man, but we know that what it's meant is the inner person. What does it mean to be strengthened in your inner person? Well, yeah, lining up more with the true person that God designed you to be, who is both a child and mature in the faith. You know, childlike and mature in the faith. It's kind of your integrity that you're lining up according to what God wants you to do, with according to what is good and right and true. And then that you may comprehend with all the saints. What is the width, length, and depth, and height? And it's weird that there's not another noun there. What is the width and length and depth and height? To know the love of Christ. It's kind of a funny passage. Look it up. Where it's just, you're kind of left hanging. Whoa, must mean somehow the vast fullness of who God is, that we are able to comprehend with all the saints. Now, when I think of the word comprehend, it's more than just understand, right? I could apprehend Chris right now, and I just kind of be like taking hold of him, right? But if I were to comprehend Chris, I think it's more like that instead of come with me than apprehending. I think that's part of what that is that we would comprehend, that we would embrace, that we could somehow enlarge our hearts to fully take in what is the height and the depth and the width and the length of the love of Christ. Loved ones, every day, Jesus calls us, his saints on earth, to live and to live the story that he is telling and to be part of the telling of that story by our own hopefully sanctified choices that we make. No matter how you feel about your story up until today, know that God has gifted you with the choice and empowered you with His Spirit to live a better story starting today. If you're not feeling great about it, just like an author might pull the sheet out of the typewriter, if that's even done anymore, wad it up, throw it, you may begin fresh. This is part of the beauty and the power of the cross. Your story is not over yet, which makes me think of, as we're coming into the Christmas season, Ebenezer Scrooge. Though a fictitious character, I believe his life story is very true and possible and available to us. On the night before Christmas, when he is mighty, you know, just the most curmudgeonly, cranky guy you can ever imagine, he becomes transformed by the visitation of spirits. Transformed. And lives very differently from that day on and experiences, I think, the joy and goodness of God for the rest of his life, however long that happened to be. I think that's true for us, that as of this day, you be visited by the Spirit of God and be able to start fresh and new today. Every day, God gives his Holy Spirit to enable you to live a better story. Now, as I mentioned earlier, today is about Christian community, about the family of God, about the saints of God. It's about the power of remembering those who have shaped our life of following Jesus. And so I'd like to close this message with just a couple of minutes of honoring our saints. You may do this in a couple of different ways. You may, now, just to honor them, if you're thinking of a particular person who is now with the Lord, who you really are grateful for, maybe it's someone who passed away over the last year or so, maybe it's someone who long ago spoke into your life and made a difference for you. But you can either just stand up in silence to honor that person. We don't need to know who it is. You know who it is. You may also, as I would, if you put your hand up in addition to standing up, I would call on you and you may tell us the name of the person in one sentence. That's all we have time for. One sentence of why they're your saint. All right? I'm going to give you just a moment of quiet, let your heart settle and maybe let it come to your mind. And then we will honor our saints this way and appreciate and give glory to God for them. By the way, you don't have to stay standing after you've stood up. So anyone who'd like to honor and recognize by changing your posture, you can go ahead and do that now. I'm really grateful, and I give thanks to God for my dad, Billy Foljam, who passed away a few weeks ago, or a couple of months now. I'm going to give us some homework. You ready for this? Here it comes. This is weird. I would invite you today to use your sanctified imagination and imagine that if your home had a room or rooms where every single window in that room was stained glass, whose stained glass portraits would be in your house, because you get to choose this. What would they be doing or holding, perhaps, in this stained glass window scene, this saint in your life? I'm going to invite you to do that like you're in a chapel. If you want to do it in a room and give it like some real presence of mind, or just throughout your house, just go to a window and imagine it as stained glass and give God thanks for that person as you imagine them holding, doing, lovingly give the Lord thanks for who they have been and are in your life. And let the light that comes through, even in your imagination of the rich colors of red and green, gold, dark, white, let it give you hope and encouragement. Let's pray. Lord, according to the riches of your glory, strengthen us with might through your Spirit in our inner person, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all your saints what is the width and length and depth and height of knowing the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we too may be filled with all the fullness of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we do pray. Amen.